Welcome to the Tripod, where we break down the NRL every game, every week from a punting perspective. I'm Jacob Wynn. Next to me is not the Pedonist, it's the Undertaker, who's going to join me for a live recap of the prelim finals we've just witnessed this weekend. So much to talk about. Maddie, sorry to be rude, I'm going to let you introduce yourself because I've got to share this live YouTube broadcast into Facebook, try and get as many people to jump on and interact with us. So take it away, Maddie.
Hey guys, Undertaker here. You're all probably sick of me by now, but it's actually my debut doing the recap show or even the preview. So yeah, it's my debut in this format. I've been sharing tips for probably a couple of years now in the Facebook group. Done pretty well. Had a good season this year. I can't remember my record at the moment. I think it's like 130 and 85, something like that, but 60%, which I'm proud of, equaling, you know, Jacob and Pedonis, which is always a high mark to hit. So yeah, today, shout out to Pedonis there if he's not feeling too good, but you get an older, less attractive version of Pedonis today.
And you're part of the Five Guys as well, mate. And NFL season is upon us too. And you've been doing Prop Me Up, which people can catch on the Tripod Facebook page, of course. Now I'm trying to find this link and I'm kind of stalling because I can't find it. Please let us know if you can see us, guys. It looks like one or two people are watching, but I can't see any comments coming through. So we'll see. We'll just proceed anyway. As always, we kind of wrap up our results at the start of the pod. So no best bets. We had the mixed matchup, which lost on a tie. I think that's happened at least once this season. I know it happened multiple times last year. Despite how good the mixed matchup record is, it's unbeatable for the odds that we get over two seasons. We've lost that many on ties, and that's why we get the juicy odds. We played Friday night's total to be higher than Saturday night's total, even though it was a higher over-under. And we got $2.05 because we take on the risk of losing in the event of a tie. 44 points Friday night, matched by exactly 44, thanks to that late Cleary try last night. And we gave out an 11-1 multi with the total bands and had Friday night 41-50, nailed that. And then last night 31-40, and the Cleary try also killed the 11-1 multi. Don't you just love to see that? As I said before, no best bet. And some people were disappointed. I believe we had the right read on both games. I think we had a correct lean, and we leaned Cowboys -2.5. I'll get your thoughts on that, Maddie, whether or not you think that was the right side. And we leaned Panthers -8.5. So when you look back on it, like we didn't lock in a best bet. And if we had, you know, we'd likely have gone 1-1. And 1-1 doesn't make you money when you're risking 10 to win 9. So I feel like we ultimately made the right call. Let's jump straight into Friday night, Maddie, and I want to go pregame with you. Did you have any bets riding, or what were your thoughts? What were you expecting in that one?
No, I was much like you guys. I think the lines were just perfect. You know, sides totals were perfect this week. So I had no best bet either this week. So, yeah, I thought maybe the sides were pretty even, maybe Cowboys slightly better, but 2.5 at home. I mean, you'd really need to be laying under 2 to have any edge on the Cowboys, I thought. So ultimately, no bet. Glad I didn't. And coming into the game, I didn't think there was much separating the teams. And after watching the game, I still can't. I think if you play this game enough times, it's pretty much 50-50. And look, if you knew the Cowboys would have 54% possession and about 200 more metres as well, you'd feel good about it. But credit to Parramatta, 46% possession, outgained in the meterage, and they got the win.
Yeah, outgained in nearly every stat. Which just makes it that all the more impressive. But that's why I actually feel like if you played that game a number more times, I really feel like it'd be rare to get such a heroic and such an amazing Parramatta performance. That's why I want to give them all the credit. Yes, there were some controversial moments. I've noted a bunch of the moments. So maybe I'll go through my kind of the dot points I made for the first half, Maddie, and then you can respond. But as I said, what kept us off backing the Cowboys, although the line did even leak out to -4 and made us maybe regret not playing the home side, is just for 3 weeks in a row, I haven't wanted to bet against Parramatta. I've tried to make it clear that we recognise this is a really capable footy side, really strong team this year, and a sense that it's now or never for them. And I feel like that got them over the line because there's that true belief this is a team that's on a real mission. Whether they can go all the way, we're going to obviously cover on Wednesday. But in the first half, okay, the first try, is it a forward pass? Yes. I believe Moses is getting swung around, so maybe the refs miss it because it's an unusual one. It was totally against the run of play. Cowboys actually looked to be on top of Parra before they broke the game open with that one. But I do think, like, You definitely cannot take this win away from Parramatta and say that pass and maybe one later is why they won. I mean, Parramatta also had other line breaks. Papali'i went clean through and blew an opportunity where if he'd been able to put a pass onto his centre or winger's chest, they score. In any case, the Cowboys did answer quite a soft try, Reuben Connor, where Gutho dropped out of the line and I guess didn't communicate with his frontline men and left a gap and Cotter took it. Parramatta was able to respond when Taumalolo was sent to the sin bin. Maybe I'll let you take over, Maddie. Your thoughts on kind of those opening scores and the moment where Taumalolo got sin binned was a huge period of the game too.
Yeah, that was another big factor, a big moment of the game, the Lolo sin bin for sure. Reuben Cotter, geez, I'm such a fan of this young fella. He should be the first pick for Australia just about outside the spine. Love to see him in the front row. Just a crazy game all round. I mean, no matter what side you're on, you were never confident you'd have a winner in that one. So, yeah, but the Lolo bin was absolutely massive and looked to still dominate the stats as the Cowboys did. Maybe they just are the better team combined with, you know, the forward pass.
And while Taumalolo was in the bin, and then you start thinking, oh, is he going to be right for next week? Like, it was pretty flush. I think it was a fair sin bin. It's always a big call to, you know, send someone in that period of time. Parramatta did hit the front again. A beautiful ball, cut-out ball by Madison, where you're not necessarily expecting him to throw a pass that close to the line in front of the sticks. And he found Campbell Gillard, first of two tries, that got the Eels back in front. And then North Queensland answered with a somewhat controversial try of their own. Leilua, let me know what you thought of this one, Maddie. I mean, Gilbert is playing the ball and he is holding on to Moses. We see this every single week. For me, I'm happy to let that go. Moses claiming he got impeded because then trying to release from that grab, he stumbled and fell. And that was what presented the opportunity for Leilua or for the Cowboys, Robson, to go short side and Leilua to crash over. But are you comfortable? That's a try, that one. Got the game back to 12-10 before a penalty goal levelled it all square 12-all at the break.
Yeah, that was completely fair try for me. If that, he just fell over, as he said. If they don't score, if that's just midfield and that's just a play, it's never, ever entertained as a penalty. So why should it be there? No, completely fair play there.
And at halftime, what were you kind of thinking? Which way did you think the game was going to go after watching 40 minutes? Because for me, the Cowboys were saying they were happy that they are level when they had a man in the bin. You know, they survived that period. And you also would have been confident on North Queensland because we know they have been so strong second halves and the narrative all about how Parramatta may not be able to last the 80 minutes in the humidity. However, I was thinking as well, like the other major factor of the first half was Parramatta's awful completion rate, completed under 60%, lots of errors. And I didn't think Parramatta were trying to promote the ball too much. And they actually put away their offloads early, way less offloads than they did against the Raiders. So it wasn't like they were playing risky. I just thought a lot of errors that Parramatta really shouldn't have made that put themselves under pressure. And completion rate is also counts as an incomplete set when you kick your fifth tackle kick out on the full, which Mitchell Moses did twice, whereas the Cowboys were really strong over 80% completion. So I suppose I thought if Parramatta protected the ball in the second half, they would have an opportunity. How did you feel?
Going into half, I felt pretty good about the Cowboys for the reasons you just mentioned there. Like they were down 6-0, they got them back to level, then down 12-6. So they were kind of always, you know, chasing their tail in the first half, the Cowboys. But once you go in the sheds at half, they are the fitter team at home, used to those conditions. You kind of thought they'd start getting on top of Parramatta. So that's how I thought it was going to go. Ultimately, it did go that way until it didn't.
And you know what else I was noticing? Second half, I was looking at the live odds and, you know, the Cowboys were $1.70 kickoff. And it's anyone's game at 12-all, but the Cowboys did hit the front 14-12 by virtue of a penalty. The live odds to win the game, the Cowboys were into $1.35, which I thought was pretty surprising. Like the Eels were $3 to win when they're only down 14-12, and it had been a pretty even game. But I guess the market was reflecting everyone's belief that the Cowboys would run over the top. And I made some notes or of the key moments in the second half that I'll run through to refresh people's memories. The try that you would have thought would have broken the game open and nearly broken Parramatta's spirits come off the back of Leilua, who was a handful all night on the left edge for the Cows, and they get a line break and Murray Taulagi scores in the corner and Val Holmes slots it as well, and it's 20-12. And now if you're Parramatta, you're going, geez, we're up 6-0, bit of luck in that try. We were up 12-6, but now we're down 20-12 against the fittest team in the comp in front of a raucous crowd in these conditions. You know, a lot of people would have thought that Power was done at that point for a mixed matchup. You know, there was an opportunity there where the Cowboys could have blown Parramatta out. I honestly, I'm telling you that the Cowboys were $1.35 to win when they were up 14-12. I don't even know what the Cowboys were paying at 20-12 because I didn't even look at the live odds because in my mind, I thought that was game over. But I would have to guess that the Cowboys got into like $1.15 based on if they were $1.35 and they're up two, now they're up eight. Like they could have been $1.15, $1.10 range. So I thought Parramatta, I thought it was over. But the Cowboys didn't put the queue in the rack. They wanted to, I think they were consciously trying to put Parramatta to the sword, and they were aggressively still spreading the ball, which led to a key error. There's a moment where the Cowboys are shifting from left to right inside their own half and spill the ball. And Sean Lane, what a game he had. He came up with that ball, which directly led to Parramatta attacking like red zone opportunity. And the moment that I think the Cowboys will rue, which is so so unlike them and so uncharacteristic of this North Queensland side, which has been exceptional defending all year, but especially second halves, that second try by Campbell Gillard, which is pretty simple, just a face ball from Reid Marnie, and that pulled the game back to 2018. I mean, how did they manage to let that one in, Matty?
Yeah, that's crazy. And what else is crazy is that Brad Fittler should probably get a hold of his phone number and call him in the middle of winter. That's what I would have thought as a New South Wales supporter. Yeah, they just caught him napping there. And, yeah, that was a crucial try. And, you know, once they got that one, I was kind of cheering the Cowboys on, to be honest. So once they got that one, I was kind of feeling like, yeah, they're coming to get him here. And I was worried for the Cowboys and their fans.
Yeah, that gave the Eels life. And the Eels actually then got an opportunity to tie the game with a penalty, and Mitchell Moses misses. And you're thinking, oh, geez, you know, there's 15 to go, big opportunity to tie the game up. It was actually a fortuitous miss because it went dead. Cowboys drop out. The Eels made a line break, got straight back onto the Cowboys try line and come up with the go-ahead try. Ends up being the final try in the game by Sivo. And it's an assist to Sean Lane again, who just had the game of his life, and he's probably had a career year as well. People even saying as he played himself into an Australia jersey. He was also kind of swinging his body around when he threw that pass. And some people are lumping that pass in with the first try. For me, first try, forward pass, no question. But that one, I thought I was happy to see that one let go. What did you think of that one?
Yeah, I think that one was line ball. I think either way they called it, I would have been happy with.
Yep. And that left 15 minutes on the clock. And the Eels back in front 24-20, and then just a heroic, inspired defensive effort by the Eels in spite of the narrative that they might melt in those conditions. Everyone on the field on both sides looked out on their feet, which always means there's going to be opportunities to score. And, geez, the Cowboys went close. I mean, they thought they had scored for a moment. Felt's heel had just grazed the sideline paint. I think if you're Kyle Felt, you'd rather your foot be on the line there than in 2015, you know, but he nearly had a 2015-esque moment. Well, it would have set up a sideline conversion again, like his one in 2015 did. But the Cowboys also went super close after getting some repeat sets, and they probably had about 14 tackles straight on the Eels' line. The Eels just keep turning them away. When Townsend spots Felt, he's going to get in behind the defence and goes for a kick, and it's that man again, Sean Lane. But I think this is one of the biggest plays of the game. When he charged down Townsend's kick, I really believe they left their great chance of scoring on that very play, but it was an early kick too because Townsend just saw the space and went for it. Eels regathered that ball and the Cowboys didn't really get back onto their line. There was only 3 minutes to go at that point, and that's basically a match-winning play by Parramatta and a famous victory for them.
Yeah, that was like the second or third tackle from memory, and you felt like, yeah, if they just kind of went through the hands, they had a real good chance of scoring. And, yeah, once Lane caught that catch, it just felt like it was over.
And for the Cowboys, if you've got any kind of final thoughts on their season, for me, it's an incredible one. And it's a team that's built to be good for a few years to come. And most of the key players have some great seasons ahead of them. I'll go back to, I do think they were the right side in this one because I feel like Parramatta had to be Herculean just to scrape over the line in this one. But that's how it goes sometimes. The right side doesn't always get up. And so it's kind of lucky we didn't play. You know, Benonis was saying to me, we could have even got a minus $1.50 on Wednesday. And I thought, oh, yeah, you know, that probably is a strong play, but doesn't always win. And that respect that I've got for Parramatta probably kept us off. And it was the difference, this side, I believe, just that, you know, you heard about the story, Mitchell Moses had to miss the Bertham's first child and stuff. Like, this team, yeah, they are so determined, and I think they understand how important these games are after having failed so many times and obviously having a 1986 hanging over their head. In terms of individuals, you can tell me if any kind of stood out to you. One that stood out to me, Jeremiah Nanai got hurt at some point early in the game, pectoral or shoulder. He wasn't the same, and he wasn't as dangerous as usual. And when the Cowboys went to the right, I felt like he couldn't threaten as much as he usually can, because this kid's an absolute superstar. Another guy who probably gets a Kangaroos jersey. Taumalolo was unreal. Apart from you know, that moment getting sin bin, he could not have done any more for his team. I thought Drinkwater was always threatening, always scaring the Eels, as was Leilua Holmes. But for me, Tom Dearden was quiet. Townsend is never really, you know, you don't never really making a lot of highlight plays. But I don't know, like, could the Cowboys halves have done more? And then Hammer coming on just so late in the game, never really got, maybe had like one half break, but didn't really get a chance. I always felt like at some point that super sub, you know, that might make a key play for the Cowboys. But I don't know if they'll second guess whether they could have utilized him differently. Any thoughts on any of the Cowboys players, Matty?
Yeah, it's funny. You just rattled off, you know, 6-8 players, Cowboys names, and this happens all the time. No one says Bryce Robson's name like ever. I think he's been one of the unsung heroes of the season, actually. And I know within that building, they absolutely love him and consider him one of their very best players. So I agree with that. He's been phenomenal all year. He makes a ton of tackles. He makes so many line breaks assists, even a few tries. So he was instrumental in their season. Doesn't get any of the raps, but it's not within that building. I know that.
No, that's a very good point. He is underrated. He like wouldn't have been that far out of like contention for the Blues, I believe, even. And then the Victors, I already mentioned Lane, but the Parramatta Eels lean heavily on their middle forwards. So a guy like Junior Paulo, like the motor on that guy and the power that he plays with, he was immense. Reed Marnie, the hooker on Robson's counterpart, I thought his fitness levels and how many times he put his body in front of those big Cowboys forwards in the middle of the field too. And the guy that, I don't know if this guy gets enough credit. I know, like, people do give him credit. He's the captain of the club. But Gutho, he's not a fullback in the nature of, I don't know, throw any name out there, Latrell Mitchell, Tedesco, Kalen Ponga, Pappenhausen. He doesn't have those highlight plays, but his fitness level is off the charts and he is everywhere. And he did have an amazing try-saving tackle on Nanai, which goes back to, like, you know, if Nanai wasn't injured, could that play have been different? But Gutho, just right place, right time, even albeit he had an error which led in the Cows first try. But even like they were running out of petrol quickly and they needed people to take tough carries, and Gutho would come in and scoot at the perfect moment, just put his hand up time and time again and be there for the Eels, and real captain's knock. And then you got to give credit to Moses, understanding everything that was on his mind. He went through this week. I'm sure he feels he made the right decision now, because, of course, he had his fingerprints over, as I say, one of the biggest wins in this club's history for the last few decades. We're going to move to last night, but we're going to quickly touch on the AFL, because it was the AFL grand final last night. Or let's just go through some of the comments as well, because I appreciate people commenting. Lockie appreciates your season this year, Undertaker. Drunken Boxing's talking about the South game, so we'll get to that. Lockie Hall talking about the deficiencies in the Cowboys attack, and I think that comes back to, like, yeah, the quiet game that Townsend and Dearden had. Fair sin bin for Lolo. I think everyone would agree with that. And he has actually been suspended for 3 weeks, so he wouldn't have been able to play in the grand final, you assume. You'd like to think they don't treat it differently depending on what the game is. Drunken Boxing talking about how great Sean Lane was. And Lockie also mentioning how soft the RCG tries, particularly, I think, the second one. I think that's the one that's really going to burn Cowboys fans. You mentioned it, Matty. That was McLean just coming up empty on a read there. And Memo Berry's the amazing defense from the Eels. That's ultimately what wins in that game. I thought they would get cracked just because of the amount of pressure that they were under, but all the credit to Parramatta for getting that win. Okay, AFL. Look, I'm a fan of the sport. I said last week, amazing prelim, Swans Pies, 95-94. I want to give congratulations to the Geelong Cats. They won their prelim by like 50 points. They won the grand final by 80. And look, I know that in big games, sometimes games blow out. Matty, your very team, the Sea Eagles, won the 2008 grand final, 38-0. But 40. It seems to happen too. 40-0. Oh, sorry, 40-0. Don't mean to sell you short. Look, I know it happens, but it seems to happen too often in the big games in AFL. Like, Like, I'm sorry, I'm not trying to rub salt into the wound. I know you actually are a Swans fan, but how do you lose the biggest game of the week, a game that's built up all week? How do you come out and lose by 80? I mean, I might be just talking out of my pocket or a bit salty because watched the game, of course, had a couple of bets. You know, you've got to have a bet on like a long shot for Norm Smith, and I picked a Swan, and I felt like I had no chance after 15 minutes watching this game. They just seemed to get worse and worse and worse. What's your response to that, Matty? What happened to the Sydney Swans yesterday?
I was having this comment, you know, watching the game live with a few mates yesterday, that there's been like a history of a lot of grand finals in the AFL being blowouts in the last like 10 years. So, yeah, we've seen a lot of it, you know, even 100-point margin. So I just can't put my finger on it. I just think it's kind of easy enough to just get off to a flyer in one quarter. And once that happens, teams just might go all out on attack, just changing their game plan. And that opens up the doors just to be blown out even further. So, you know, starting kicking down the middle long instead of working the wings and whatnot. So happened yesterday. It was 7-0 after 10 minutes. It looked like it was going to be a low scoring grind. And then that last 10 minutes of the first quarter, something like 8 goals, game over, and it just threw everything out the window.
Yeah, I know that AFL is like a momentum sport, but you still get breaks and you get quarter breaks, and Sydney could never regather and do anything. Now, let's talk more rugby league. So we've got Panthers South from last night. But before we discuss that one, let's get the bookie recap.
G'day, Tripod family. Tristan Merlihan here from Top Sport, and two fascinating games that have just finished this weekend, which see Parramatta take on Penrith in the grand final. Well, that market has opened up as $1.39 Penrith, $3.05 Parramatta, and 8 flat. It actually opened up at 8.5 in some places. Some places are now into 7.5, so it'll be interesting where that market ends up. But I think both of those teams have been two of the better sides all year. I know the Cowboys would deem themselves unlucky with the Friday night result and a couple of those forward passes that went Parramatta's way. So that was an interesting betting game because the market went from 2.5 out to 4 and back into 3.5. So we had a lot of money both ways on that match. Money was for the overs, and it looked like it was going to cover pretty comfortably, and then it only just fell over in the end. And then in the Panthers Rabbitohs game, it was all one way traffic for the Panthers at the minus. So at 12-0, we were getting pretty excited there at Top Sport HQ, and then those couple of tries just before halftime really swung that momentum. That try right at the death, that had so many implications across so many different avenues, and it was one of those ones where you always look at a nothing try and shake your head. Obviously, it caused the mixed matchup to get beaten, but it also was the line that we took a sizable bet live, where we laid Penrith minus the line live, and that obviously covered that line. And then one of our customers had a really big mold. He had 500 at 80-1 on, I think it was Cleary, Cody Walker, and maybe Toll, but the Cleary trial was the last one that sealed that one. So there was obviously some wins with the mixed matchup from our end, and then a couple of big losses. But it's amazing how one try at the end with nothing on the line can swing so many results one way or the other. That's punting, that's football, and I just hope we get a cracking game next week. It's obviously a massive rivalry. You know, Penrith, they'll be fired up after having a couple of weeks off. So I think they'll be hard to beat, but you never know. Parramatta, if they can lift that, they've done it already against the Panthers this year. So it should be a beauty. Hopefully back to winner over the weekend, and chat to you during the week.
Yeah, we'll talk about that last try and that one again, I'm sure. Final score 32-12, as Tristan said there, with the Panthers going to their third straight grand final. But look, I'm guessing most of you guys are keen rugby league fans. You're watching us doing a live recap on a Sunday. So I'm guessing, especially for the big games, I know not everyone watches every NRL game. We try and help you, tell you what you might have missed. Most people watch this game, but if anyone didn't, it's a classic for the scoreline does not tell the story. And anyone, if you didn't watch this game, and if you bet Penrith or you bet -8.5 or 13 plus, you think, oh yeah, that was never in doubt, that was an easy win. Well, you have no idea how much danger Penrith was in this one. Matty, again, talk to me kind of pregame, what you were expecting in this one, and did you have any bets on the line?
Look, I kind of had a very small lean to Penrith, but I just in my brain was tattooed those previous two finals with these teams last year, where I think 8-6 was pretty much the score in both of those games. So I didn't want to lay, you know, over a converted try when I just had this low scoring grinding game in my head, which didn't turn out to be accurate, but that's kind of was my thinking pre-game.
And let's talk about the first half then. So I feel like Souths lost this game in the final 4 minutes of the first half. And I feel like they were on track to win this. They were up 12-0. And, you know, I was watching the game with Barney. I give a shout-out to Barney, your co-host, popped me up with you. Souths had hung on. There were several tries denied, which I'll talk about. for the Penrith Panthers, I think all fairly so. But everything had kind of gone right for Souths to build that lead. It felt like their night and they were feeding off the energy and they hadn't been put under a lot of pressure. They'd had to do a little bit of defending, but one reason or another, some good defence and also some missed opportunities by Penrith. Found themselves up 12-0 with the ball with 6 minutes to go. And I said to Barney, I know sometimes players get tired late in half and there could be opportunities, but if I'm Souths, I'm thinking complete three sets. We complete three sets, we get to halftime 12-0. Like, there's no reason Penrith should be down Souths end again. You just get to halfway, you kick to a corner, you defend. And that very set, they made a line break. And look, fair enough, if your second rower goes halfway through and gets an offload, you got to kind of go for it and Souths make a break. So at one point, with about 5 minutes to go in this half, Souths are 12-0 up and making a break. But they just chanced their arm one too far, went back to the middle of the field. The Trell throws a very risky kind of ball, long cutout ball to a front rower, to Tola, who's in the line and getting hammered as he tries to catch it. He spills that. That directly leads to a Panthers possession where now they will get to attack. It leads to a big run by Kikau, bowls people over and gets a lightning-fast play of the ball, which leads to Coruscant, Scoot, and he just gets the ball down. It's called no try. The bunker reviews it, and if the angle had been slightly more obstructed, they probably couldn't have overturned that one, but they did give that try. And I should say that that Coruscant try was after Penrith had already been denied three earlier occasions. There was a To'o try where they said Ilias was obstructed. There was a Kikau try where there was a knock-on gathering a dropout, and there was a Staines try where there was obstruction in a run by Jerome Luai. So you felt like Souths had gotten a couple of get-out-of-jail-free cards. But look, at that point, they finally get on the scoreboard, Penrith, and cut it to 12-6. And 12-6 is not a disaster for Souths to go in at halftime. And in fact, Souths got the last opportunity of the half. They got a scrum on halfway with 30 seconds left. And I'm sure you know what happened. They shifted right. Graham spilled it. To'o catches it. And he was covered. He wasn't going to get to the try line. Walker and Cook had him. Somehow they collide after To'o bumps off Walker. And Penrith somehow miraculously went in at 12-all. And I felt like it was, you should never say this, but you felt like it was a game over at that point, Matty.
That's my exact thought. That was catastrophic. I mean, I thought they just should have set up for a field goal, actually, with the final play of the first half. Mm. And you're either going in at halftime 13-6 up or 12-6 up, but to go in 12-all, it just felt like that's a game. I never felt like Souths are going to win it at that point.
No, like they had to have a lead because too much went right for them in the first 35 minutes of that half, and just to let Penrith come all the way back. And I thought Souths were shell-shocked. Like, it's not an excuse, but clearly they just they thought, geez, we have to do all that all over again. And we'd already had a bit of luck our way, and where Penrith would have just thought, like, now we're going to overwhelm South Sydney. And that's what they did. And they come out and won the second half 20-0. An early try in the second half from Lenu. And that was a kick from Cleary that where he identified that Luttrell was in the line. And this Penrith scored three tries in the second half when Luttrell was in the line and not sweeping him behind. And that's something that Parramatta's going to have a game plan for this week in terms of trying to combat that, because that early little deft grubber kick by Penrith is a pet play. And the thing about the Lenu try, even if he didn't ground it, it would have been a sin bin and Luttrell in the bin and a penalty to Penrith because Luttrell took out Cleary on that one. So either way, 18-12, it's not good. And again, it shouldn't be game over at 18-12 because South are still a good footy team. We've got to remember that. But it was 18 straight points. And Souths had to answer, and Souths did get some territory and some sets on the Panthers' line. And if they'd been able to score and maybe break that run of momentum by Penrith, maybe they could have still made it interesting with half an hour to go. But Penrith held their line intact. At one point, there was a forced dropout, but then Penrith regathered their own dropout. That kind of seemed to hurt Souths. And then soon after that, another try from a kick in behind. Tago scores off a Luai grubber, 24-12. It's game over. And if you didn't think it was game over then, it was a few minutes after that when Milne got sent off, and that just all set up for even more heartbreak for Tripod followers, because we had our multi, as I said, it was in the sweet spot of 31-40 with 38 points on the board. We could have even done with a late penalty goal and Penrith go, oh, let's not get anyone hurt. Let's burn 2 minutes and kick a penalty and finish with a total of 40, which would have been fine for our 11-1 multi and the mixed matchup. But no, Cleary, grubber in behind again when Luttrell's in the line. He scores. That's just cruelty from the punting gods. Maddie, I don't know if you take any responsibility for that one, because you did comment mixed matchup should have enough points. again, like when we made the bet, the totals were like a point apart. By the time Friday night kicked off, the totals in the two games were like 4.5 points apart. So it was an outstanding bet from just pure market value. And 44 should have been plenty of points to defend because this total closed 39.5. So it's a tough beat. I mean, I'm not going to say it's a terrible beat. It's just cruel when there was no points for like 20 minutes and then there's one right at the end by a team that doesn't need to score. But that's the way it goes sometimes. Tristan said, it's always two sides of a coin. Some people are happy, some not. And there's even some punters out there that might have needed the over or needed a clear retry or a margin bet or whatever who would have been pretty happy with how that ended, but we certainly weren't.
Yeah, and on top of those things, which I was on as well, riding your mixed matchups and multi, I also had a double same game multi with South plus 19.5. So I was effectively up 31.5-0 and find a way to lose that. So just brutal all around. So you knew it was coming too, didn't you? They just love to rub it in, Penrith. They don't just want to coast to victory. They just want to rub it in and score late. They seem to do it every time they win.
And Tristan actually said, yeah, they took a big bet on the live line. Because you've got to remember, like, Souths kind of knew they couldn't win from down 26-12, which is what it was when after the send-off and the penalty. And then they're down a man as well. And it was primed for, like, a big blowout. And the live line was still only, like, 17.5 or something. And I was talking to Barney about that, and I thought, like, think Penrith could blow this open now and run away with it. And someone obviously had a big whack on that. And that is what happened. I'll just touch on some comments. Barney saying, yeah, we were on tilt. We were both pretty frustrated. We were both cheering on South Sydney in that one. And our hopes were dashed. We were sitting pretty quietly at half time after we were stunned by what happened at the end of the first half. And clearly Souths were stunned as well. Lockie says he was expecting a close grinding game. First half was anything but that. It's funny, like, as well, if it had been 12-0 at halftime for Souths, the total sails under. But because Penrith goes bang, bang, suddenly there's 24 first-half points. You're going, oh, no, mixed matchup was in danger. Yeah, Penrith had to be stoked to be 12-all, no doubt. Barney says Penrith are kissed, seemed to find luck. But, look, you make your own luck, and there's no joke getting to three straight grand finals. Brian To'o, his running and tackle-breaking, his drunken boxing, says there. And look, this is the other factor I wanted to touch on, Matty. So one of the last things we'll talk about is Luttrell. I had a few people commenting like he didn't do enough. He let him down. Or yeah, for a player that's been basically the form player of the competition, and this match was seen as a kind of a head-to-head between Cleary and Luttrell, who was going to have the bigger game, who was going to put their team on their back. Like, what was your assessment of Luttrell's performance? It's probably worth mentioning that was a bet you were riding. $31 in the finals extravaganza preview you gave out for Luttrell to have the most points of any player in the final series. And he was $1.33 favourite before the prelims kicked off. So what did you make of Luttrell's performance? And just tell people where that bet is at right now. It's not dead yet, but it's could be a tough one.
If it's not dead, it's in the intensive care ward at the hospital anyway. I think he leads by, it's either 5 or 7. I haven't quite added it up, but in my head it's gone. I mean, yeah, with Luttrell, that's just the kind of player he is. If he's a fighter, he's a knockout puncher, he's not going to go 12 rounds, so he just picks his spots, he's explosive, but he's probably not the fittest guy. He's not going to be a Dylan Edwards or a Gutherson who has 20-plus runs a game and just injects everywhere. He's just going to pick a few moments and just have maximum impact. That's just the kind of player he is.
Yeah, I was hoping for more from Luttrell. Like, I was hoping for him to stamp his authority, like, to have a moment. I was thinking if Souths can get to the halftime break 12-0, even 12-6, that first try of the second half is going to be all important, and Luttrell can be that player that either has it or creates it. And then obviously even when they were down 18-12 and they had to answer and they just couldn't come up with anything, Luttrell wasn't, you know, didn't have his hands on the ball. Again, like, he goes as Souths go, so they were shell-shocked as a team, so it meant there were less opportunities for Luttrell. But I also will point out, he got absolutely smashed early in the first half where his neck's cracked back. I thought like that was like whiplash of being rear-ended in a car accident, honestly, the force of that one. And I don't know if he was right. So I will say that in his defense for that one. And look, 12-0, he hadn't had to do a lot in the game. He took some strong carries out of their end, which they were going to need as well. And obviously they're missing, you know, Alex Johnson and stuff. So the outside backs wasn't their strength in this game. But quiet second half when you would have liked him to do more. Was he 100% right? Was it just because they were getting trampled by Penrith? I don't think you can hang this loss on Luttrell. I really think it's collectively, it's what happened in those final minutes of the first half, and that's how it goes. And I think it's funny because all year, anybody who backed Penrith to win the comp, the best odds you probably got, maybe pre-season, you might have got like $4, but pretty quickly it was clear Penrith were the clear favourites, and they were into $3, and then they were under $3, you know, $2.50 looking unbeatable. And anyone who took anything between $2.50 and $2 for Penrith to win the comp, just believing they're going to be here in October, which they are, you're sitting pretty now. They're $1.40 in the grand final, as Tristan said. But in live betting, they were longer than 250 to win the game when they were down 12-0. So it's funny, and that's what I kept saying, why I couldn't endorse backing Penrith to win the comp at such short odds, because no matter what happens, no matter how healthy you are, and in the end Penrith have no major injuries to note, you always have to get through a couple of elimination games, which last night obviously was. And look, they get through, they emerge, and they win by 20, but their live odds to win the premiership would have been over $3, which I think some bookies like Sportsbet might even let you get. So it's funny how you can say it's a great bet now because the odds have crunched in. Obviously, they're a strong favourite. They are a 7.5-point favourite. Tristan's saying maybe even an 8 available on Toppy. And that's kind of what I expected. Barney asked me, like, what's the line going to be? And I said instinctively 6.5 or 7.5, I feel. So I'm not surprised where it's at, but I'll obviously do a big deep dive into the Battle of the West. And, Maddie, I'm going to get you to send me any bets you've got or any tips, clips, Wednesday. We'll make it a massive show, along with the other boys from the Five Guys and other guys that have contributed all season long, because we do appreciate you guys. Yeah, like, so you back to Latrell, most points, which we thought, well, if Souths can get to a grand final, that's probably going to win. They didn't get to a grand final, but, like, it still has a chance, which shows what a great bet it was. Souths were under $10 to make the grand final before the finals kicked off, and he was $31 to be top point scorer. He has put up 30 points in 3 games, only scoring 4 points last night. Mitchell Moses, I believe, has about 25 points because Parra got that big win in the second week of the finals against Canberra, and Moses had a bunch of points last night. And then Cleary scoring that late try hurts you as well, because I believe Cleary's on about 24. Oh, no, he's kicked a field goal as well. So Cleary might be the one on 25 and Moses might be on 24. Yeah. So you've got two players that are 6 and 5 points behind Latrell. You'd get a dead heat. You'd probably take a dead heat payout if one of them ends up, you know, level with 30, on 30 with Latrell, and you get a half payout, half of 31s, you're still laughing. So for that bet to win now, there probably needs to kind of be a type of game in the grand final, like 2 tries apiece, 3 at the most, maybe a missed conversion in there. And it is possible that your kickers score less than 6 points or less than 5 points, just, you know. But then again, you know, penalty goals adds it up as well. So look, it's possible, still a better than $31 shot, but it could be a tough one. But just didn't quite put enough on the board last night.
Last year's grand final was at 12-10.
Yeah, 14-12, I think, in the end.
We need something like that again this year. But look, I like to consider these bets dead, and then if they don't, I'll take it like a bonus. That's how I go.
Yeah, it's just hard when you're back, so like $31, it drops all the way into $1.33. You're kind of in your mind, you're thinking that you've won, you certainly deserve to win, but then still doesn't always get over the line. So I've spoken about Wednesday. You know, guys, if you're a fan of our recaps, actually at this point, planning to do the live recap within 15 minutes of the grand final. So give an instant reaction to the GF. So if you're interested in that, you can join me. And hopefully Padonis is feeling a bit better. Hopefully he can rest up and have a big show Wednesday for us as well. So shout out to the Padonis. Shout out to him as well, because I mentioned NFL, and NFL went into week 3. Big slate of games tomorrow. And the Padonis is 2-0 on NFL mixed matchups, and average wins over $3 odds. He's 100% on over $3 odds average. That's brilliant. And Maddie has been sharing NFL tips as well. You can find his tip summary for week 3 if you want to jump on any with the Undertaker in the Tripod group. Thanks for being with us, guys. Thanks for interacting. Have a great rest of your weekend, and we'll see you on Wednesday. Lego.